Very warm welcome to this week's Bromsgrove and Droybridge Standard podcast with me, Tristan Harris. Now, we haven't got a guest this week, but we will endeavour to get one next week. But we're going to chat about the news that has been taking place this week, and it's all about the environment. I've got Claire with me.
Hello. What do you mean you haven't got a guest? I'm your guest this week.
We haven't got a guest specifically.
We haven't got a guest specifically to talk about one thing.
But we have been, we've had some great people on, and that reminds me, I might as well remind you now, if you do want to be on the podcast and you're listening to this and you think you've got something to say, email us, editor@bromsgrovestandard.co.uk or editor@droybridgestandard.co.uk, and you're very welcome to come and join us. It's all about the because climate's the big thing at the moment, isn't it?
It is. Everyone's talking about climate. Thank goodness they are as well, though.
Yeah. Especially after, Bromsgrove District Council declared a climate emergency last Wednesday, 24 hours before what has now been proven as the hottest day on record.
It all had so much, they were like, that's it.
Climate
emergency.
Loads of councils have done this, and they've obviously, it's a bit of a boost, you know, with regard to let's get things sorted for climate and let's start really seriously looking at it. That's the gist of it. Councils promised to take urgent action, but they stopped short of setting a date to become carbon neutral by. Other councils across the county, including Worcester, have already set deadlines on becoming carbon neutral by 2030. I think it's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, they're saying that there's going to be no more petrol cars sold after 2040.
So carbon neutral, though, Tris, is that basically like for every car you have, you plant a tree? That sort of thing?
It's kind of like along that, isn't it? So it's kind of like, I think for the amount of bad you do, the amount of good you do, that's it, isn't it? So you reduce your carbon footprint. So cutting down on things like vehicles, like petrol vehicles and things like that, will reduce the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. And if the idea is everybody does their bits, obviously with the help of the council, and then we will be eventually, you know. So I think that's the issue, isn't it? It's getting worse. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure it plateaus and it doesn't go any higher.
And we're not doing anything to damage the environment.
You see, I've got mixed feelings about this because I did look up the climate change performance index. Mm-hmm. Britain is actually like fifth in the world for the best. We're like one of the green nations.
Yeah.
And Ireland, of all people, are red, along with America and South Korea and all these other countries.
China and Germany are terrible.
Yeah. I mean, the Scandinavians are all up there. Mm-hmm. Your Finland, your Denmark, your Sweden, your Norway. They're all up there, and they do. They live. It's quite an expensive way of life, isn't it, over there? Mm. But they do really look after the environment. They look after the people.
They recycle everything.
They're just the perfect neighbours, because they are technically just across the sea. I think people are being too hard on the UK sometimes, I do. I think all these protesters, I know they've got a valid point, and I know we need to do more, but when it comes to the world, and I think one of the ones is climate change policy, we're actually, you know, we're right up there.
I always get really annoyed with Germany, because, you know, Germany puts themselves on this pedestal in Europe, and they try and tell everyone else what to do sometimes, and they're really terrible for, they're still building coal power plants in power stations in Germany to this day every week, and the same as China and
there's Canada, America, they're all there. And you're thinking, you know what, some of these climate change protesters really should, before they have a go at the UK, they should, we are trying and we are improving. Maybe they need to get on their bikes, some of them, and go off to America
and Germany.
Obviously, you don't want to fly because it's a
bad environment. Or we need to stop buying Chinese phones and something, just to teach them a lesson or something.
No, I agree. But, the good news locally, get back to that, is Bromsgrove now has a climate crisis motion. It was by Councillor Siobhan Hughes from the Liberal Democrats. And it was given the go-ahead. So this was the one that was put off before, and there was a lot of criticism of the Conservatives for not allowing extra time, but they did make more time here, and now it's been given the go-ahead, and it's all looking good. So just got to do it now. And then there was another motion that was defeated from the Labour group. They were saying that they wanted six trees to be planted for every one that was knocked down in Bromsgrove. Which is, I think six might be a bit higher, maybe two. They might have got it through, but six, six I could see.
Mm.
I could see why they'd want six. Cause obviously
where would they put them as well?
Well, I don't know. They'd have to work that out, wouldn't they?
Mm.
But Labour leader, Councillor Michael Thompson, going back to the climate emergency, he actually did criticise the Liberal Democrats and saying that... he criticised the council as a whole because the Liberal Democrats because they didn't support an amendment to make the council carbon neutral by 2025. So that's the council. So obviously when we talk about the council, we've got the refuse trucks, haven't we? We've got all the their offices, you've got all the things that the council do. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. I mean, there's things now, isn't it? I think it is planning policy now that every house, when it's built, has to have an electric charging point for a car.
Does it?
So that is, yeah, that's already there.
Wow.
So all this is in place.
Hmm.
The thing they've got to address, I think, is, I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm a normal working guy with a family of four. We've got a Ford Mondeo, which is, you know, it's not the best car paid an absolute fortune in road tax, but we need it for camping. I mean, I don't... Myself, I'm pretty much carbon neutral anyway because I cycle to the station and get the train.
Yeah.
So I use the car to get to places that are inaccessible by train. Mm-hmm. That's not my fault. That's the public transport. And plus, if you're going to council meetings and stuff, some of them don't finish till 9 or 10.
Yeah.
So you've got to get home and things. So I do use the car at a minimum. The main thing we use it for is holidays. But then, if they're saying that they're not going to be selling any more petrol cars after 2040, the cost of an electric car is £30,000. Now, I can't afford...
The government needs to give us all Teslas, doesn't it? That's what needs
to
happen.
Exactly. The government needs to somehow subsidise. There needs to be money subsidising electric cars because, I mean, I can't... I think the last amount I paid for a car was £2,500. There's no way I can afford £30,000 on a car. And there's no way I can loan £30,000 and... I can't afford any more outgoings in my current financial state, so I couldn't say like, oh, I'll pay £60 a month off or something, because I haven't got £60 a month for disposable income, but I need a car for things I do. So there's got to be something. That's my biggest gripe as well. They need to address electric cars. They need to come down in price. They need to find a cheaper way of making them. I think the problem is they've got with electric cars is they were, because I did that feature on it, didn't I, about the...
batteries.
Yeah, about the...
batteries can take them thousands.
Oh, no, they are quick charge now. They're all great and everything. But it's only £90 a service a year.
Mm-hmm.
It saved his taxi driver from £7,000 a year in fuel to £700. So the savings are there.
My friend's just got one actually in London, and he was saying to fill it up full charge, like a full tank of gas, petrol, is £6.
Yeah.
Which, there's lots of savings.
Like 55. So it is a long-term saving, but because you're running a petrol car at the moment, you can't physically put that money away to, it has to be something when.
But I was reading another article about these electric cars. I thought that's what you're going to talk about. The batteries. Yeah. Somebody else was saying that the batteries are really bad for the environment because they take hundreds of thousands of years to, there's lithium or something, I don't know, in there that takes 100,000 years to be.
But they're probably better than petrol, aren't
probably, they? Yeah. You just don't know what to believe,
you've
got to
just keep taking it down.
We need to all just walk everywhere, basically, or cycle.
We do, but walking to the Isle of Wight in a couple of weeks would be quite stressful for me. So that's the only thing.
You better start off now.
I better. Yeah, there you go. I'll say, look, you know that 10 days I wanted off. It's going to have to be more like 90. Councillor Karen May, the leader of Bromsgrove District Council, said... we do want to become carbon neutral, and you can see Karen May's point here, but we don't want to further impoverish or give more problems to our residents than we need to right now. I agree to the commitment and I'm committed to the subject matter, but we need time to work on the dates. And also businesses as well. If you're asking businesses to make changes, it could be more costly for those to make those changes overnight. So you don't want to like bankrupt all your firms, because Bromsgrove is one of the best places in the country for new small and medium enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to all of a sudden like hamstring them with environmental things that they're just unachievable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move that one till the end because it's a nice quirky one. I've got staying with the environment. I said it was an environmental week. Action plan aimed at reducing food waste across Bromsgrove was rejected at last week's meeting. Kate van der Plank from Alvechurch, she's an independent councillor, She was shocked to see her motion, which asked Bromsgrove District Council to support and encourage local retailers to sign up to food redistribution schemes. The Labour, the Lib Dem and all the independents voted in favour, but members of the Conservative Party voted against. Clearly the council has decided it would rather pay to dump food instead of redistributing it to those in need. The proposals would have saved taxpayers' money in disposal costs, had a positive environmental impact and benefited people in our communities. Using surplus food to feed the hungry is not a solution to food poverty, but whilst both food waste and food poverty exist, we should make sure it's used. As a council, I strongly believe this is our moral responsibility. So food waste costs the UK around £12 billion a year, an average of £810 per family per year. And it is right, isn't it? I mean, the amount of stuff I hate wasting food, but sometimes you put it in and then you don't feel like it the next night, or you don't get to the bottom of it.
Well, we don't actually throw anything away in my house here because our neighbours have got chickens and pigs and things. Yeah, so everything goes up and gets given to them. But I go to friends' houses and things and I see what they throw away and I'm just always like, how on earth?
I mean, I really fancied pork chops last Thursday, right? So I bought 4 pork chops and I had the 2 on the night on the Thursday. Nobody else really eats it in the house. So I thought, I've got 2 for tonight, 2 for tomorrow. Perfect. Friday, I get home. My wife Louise said, "We've got pizza in the oven." I'm like, "Oh, I was supposed to have them pork chops." So I looked at the thing and I thought, "Oh, 24 hours one from opened." And I thought, "Well, to be fair, 36 hours will probably be okay." So what I did was I had the pizza on the night, and then I ended up having pork chops, stuffing, applesauce, and potatoes for breakfast on Saturday morning.
Don't blame you.
It was fantastic. I don't like to, I mean, especially meat. I don't like wasting meat.
No.
The animals have
But do you not think sometimes they put these labels on saying you must eat it before the 28th of July? And it's so...
They're probably covering their backs, to be
probably,
fair, aren't they? Because at the end of the day, they don't want to be sued because somebody's got ill from food poisoning. Yeah. But yeah, I think a lot. I mean, it's the old adage, isn't it, where you say, you know... During the war, they didn't worry about this.
Exactly.
They didn't worry about using an egg. There's something you can do with
eggs. I always
do
that. You put the eggs in
egg
the
water.
And if they float up to the top, they're bad.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because they are full of air or something. But if they stay on the bottom...
See, I could never remember which way around.
Do you know what? I think I've got it right.
Oh, yeah, so.
If anyone's listening to this and tries
don't
it,
want half
Google
the Bromsgrove.
It. Google it, yeah.
Don't you don't want half the Bromsgrove standard readership with salmonella this time next week. I think that is right, because when you put an egg in, you do... Here it goes, don't
you? Yeah, and they lie on their side when they're really fresh, because they're really heavy, and then they kind of turn up when they're getting, you know, a few weeks old, and then they rise,
those,
I think.
One of those Japanese dolls or Russian dolls that go inside each other, because they like kind of like they're like,
you
know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or a Weeble, if anyone remembers
one. One of those little fish. Do you remember those little red fish you'd put on your hand?
It would tell your fortune. Yeah. Mm. Oh, you're passionate. That's what you used to say. Everybody was passionate back then. Councillor Annette English, independent Alf Church South, said with Brexit and a possible general election on the way, it could be months or even years before the government passes legislation on food waste. So we could do it here in the district now. Councillor leader Karen May and Worcester County said Worcester County Council have been running a food waste programme for a number of years. We can also do what we can with our active kitchen programme, which is going well again.
Mm-hmm.
That teaches young people to avoid wasting food. Currently our council doesn't measure food waste, but there's nothing to say we can't do that in the future with the government's, when the government's new waste programme comes into effect. The government will launch a pilot scheme to reduce food waste in 2019-2020. It will be supported by £50 million worth of additional funding. Councillor van der Plank said, "I'm not sure why the Conservatives voted against my motion. For me, the reasons remain unclear and don't stack up. The proposals were low cost, local, practical, and not things central government would legislate on."
So, Tristan, what happens with these food wastage things? So they go around all the supermarkets and all the shops and get all the food that isn't sold in time, and then they distribute it to poor families. That's how it happens.
Yeah, that's how it happens. I mean, I think there's already some independents doing that. Like, I know Waitrose, they give theirs to the Basement Projects, and there are some places already doing it. But I think what Kate van der Plank wanted was a more blanket version, so to bring more people together doing this. I mean, it seems a no-brainer, doesn't it? So I'm with Kate, really, on that. I don't see why this has happened. But then again, Councillor Karen May, she's quite a practical councillor, so she's probably thinking, well, is this really, you know, feasible at this time. Mm. I mean, they should have probably maybe set up a working party to at least look into it and do some digging and investigating, and then decided on a way forward then, maybe.
And I thought all these supermarkets these days were really efficient with their just-in-time
deliveries
and all that sort of thing. So, I mean, maybe they should be held responsible a little bit as well for not ordering, you know, getting their orders
right. They vary, don't they, as well? Some supermarkets you go into, they'll cut something from like £2 to like £10.
I love that. That's my favourite bit of the supermarket.
But then there's other ones who just like knock 5p off, even though like it's that day. And you think, you know.
Oh, Tesco's in Redditch is great for doing that. That's where I normally go. Yeah, they have.
Morrison's in Rubridge is quite good for reductions. Yeah. So you can get stuff for 9p. Like,
oh, totally.
And you can really cut your food.
You feel great as well, don't you, when you get a bargain?
Yeah. Especially because, because loaves of bread now are about £1 each, aren't they? Good news for Droitwich. Football's coming home to Droitwich after that. I think we spoke a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, about the application for a stadium pitch. It's going to have a turnstile, they're going to have a stand, and also, as well, there's going to be a community 3G pitch that will be used by the younger players and things like that. So it's all good, really. So that was given the go-ahead. We put it on the front page a couple of weeks ago. Then did the follow-up in last week's paper, but that was obviously after the podcast. So what's happened now is Droitwich was having to play its home games at Stourport because its ground wasn't up to the league standards. It was a bit of a trek for a home game. I mean, you don't want going that far for an away game. But now the council have given it all the go-ahead, so hopefully there's no time scale. Oh, yes, there is. Sorry, it says the work's due to start in May next year. And then hopefully the ground will be up to speed to Droitwich can, as we said, football's coming home to Droitwich, and they'll be able to play their home games. Plus the 3G pitch next to it will be used by the youngsters, so they'll be able to see the dream, won't they, about playing for their local club.
Brilliant.
So that's good. Football in Droitwich there. Now this was our front page last week, and we hadn't got the story in the back before the podcast, so we're doing it now. We've had a couple of letters about it as well. This conversation is ongoing. The Artrix car park is going to be face charges up until 7 p.m. from September the 1st. Now, it's not Artrix or the council. We had loads of people when it went live, loads of people who obviously hadn't looked into the story. So clearly they were going, oh, the council's to blame. We can just confirm it's not the council's car park, because Bromsgrove District Council do get a lot of stick, and we're happy to give Bromsgrove District Council a lot of stick if they do something wrong or it is their fault. But on this occasion, it's not Bromsgrove District Council. It's Howe College, Hertfordshire College. They're bringing it in because they say they've got 30% worth of funding cuts in the last decade. The college, the Artrix director, Angela Galvin, said in response, "The college has faced draconian cuts, as we have. We've lost £100,000 a year, which we used to receive from the council." So you can criticise the council for that. "Sadly, nowadays, free parking is the exception rather than the rule. We're confident the programme's exciting enough for people to still want to come here. The Bromsgrove community has always supported us, and we hope they'll still come down when they see what we've got planned."
And you only have to pay till seven. And most shows start after seven, don't they? I mean, the daytime programme, obviously not. But
I mean, the thing is, in the daytime, you've got like children's toddler sessions, and you've got workshops, and you've got a community choir. I mean, we've got the University of 3A, who I did a talk to for there. So I would have had to have paid parking that day, and so would everybody. And I think they're worried that there's going to be the audience members before 7 o'clock are going to be affected. But the other thing that Artrix is concerned about is people used to turn up before, say, their show's on at 7:15 or 7:30. They used to turn up
and have a drink
first. So then the bar revenue could be hit by that, so it'll have a knock-on effect there. The fees are going to be comparable to Bromsgrove District Council, which are around 80p an hour. During the day, Artrix hosts dance classes, youth theatre sessions, choirs, rhythm time, Pilates, calligraphy and film screenings. A Howe College spokesperson in response said, despite funding pressures, it had always supported the local arts community in its search for alternative revenue streams before considering the charges. Howe College has to maintain, insure and light these car parks. The college needs to secure additional revenue to support its mission to provide high quality technical and vocational educational opportunities across Worcestershire. Charging the general public to use car parks where the college has excess capacity is necessary.
You can understand both sides, can't you?
You can. I mean, the other thing, disappointing thing for Artrix is I think when it started, the college actually used Artrix as a performance space. They used to pay a contribution to Artrix's revenue each year, and that's now stopped. So a lot of the drama students have gone to Worcester. So they've lost that stream. So it's a bit, you know, it is a bit like that. But like you say, the colleges have got funding cuts, as have Artrix. So it goes back to that. There's not enough money about for all these projects. If you've got any views, editor@bromsgrovestandard.co.uk, because we've already got a couple of letters this week. We had one letter last week. So that's conversations will continue about Artrix car parking.
Brilliant.
Massive event. I don't know if you got this in your roundup. On you probably got this on your mobile, not stealing your thunder. There's going to be this Bromsgrove Dining Club events.
I just wrote about that this morning.
I won't say too much about that. But,
it sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
It does.
First one ever.
It's the Digbeth Dining Club. Mm-hmm. They're really renowned.
I've been to one over in Solihull and it was incredible.
Yeah.
Really great. They had DJs, live music,
and just so much fun.
Really.
And they do it in Longbridge as well. They come to Longbridge. So you've got a Longbridge Dining Club, and now you've got a Bromsgrove Dining Club. And with the increase in the number of independent vendors and traders and shops we've got in Bromsgrove now, this seems like the next step. So that's Saturday. It goes on from 11 till 6 in the evening. And also, they've got this amazing gravity-defying astronaut show.
Ooh.
So it's free to watch the show, but then I think it's a pound into the dining club.
So it's all going to be at the recreation centre?
By Asda.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then this guy, the futuristic gravity-defying astronaut, he's performing twice at 11 and 2. So he goes up on a crane, rather him than me. And it's going to be good. The last thing they had there was called the Mobile Om, H-O-M-M-E-S, French. And it was incredible. It was a few years ago.
They were like
drummers and street performers, and as they were drumming, then this crane picked them up and they were literally drumming in the air. It was incredible to watch, and it was held on the Market Hall site, and it was part of a project to do a whole day of activities to boost local traders, so people would come into town, watch that, and then go and spend money in pubs, clubs and restaurants and stuff after. And it really worked, and it was a really successful day. And this is along the same lines. It's really good. The show Space Suited Traveller Urban Astronaut arrives to a polluted and inhospitable future Earth. He meets a girl. Together they raise questions about whether the human race change and avoid a poison future. So,
wow, that sounds interesting.
It does sound good.
But also, just so much good food there as well. So,
the good food.
Loads of different vendors are going to be there. Sushi, apparently, and Chinese.
Only Jerkin, which is obviously jerk.
Only Jerkin, that's a good name, isn't it?
Original Patty Man, Bourneville Waffle Co., the Dim Sum Sue, Urban Cheesecake, and many more.
Amazing. It's going to be fantastic.
Lovely. So look forward to that. That'll be in this week's paper, and it's already online. My favourite story of the week, and I know you know this story.
You love your quirky stories, Tris.
You know this story.
I don't know which one
you're
going to be talking
about. You were involved in the Facebook conversation with veterinary nurse Sarah Mayle.
Oh, yeah.
With the dog. And this dog, her Labrador Red, he'd been retching for a week, and then he starts being sick, and she's a veterinary nurse. She thinks, oh my God, what's going to happen? Takes him into Clentil's Vets, where she works, and they were just about to do, now I haven't got this word once this week, so let's try it. They do an endoscopy. Is that right?
Endoscopy. I don't know.
They put an endoscope down his throat. Well, they went to. But as they opened his mouth, they saw a thread down the back of his throat. So they traced the thread, as you would, and they found it led to his tongue. They x-rayed him. He had a needle and thread in his tongue.
Oh, poor little thing.
So they had to put him out, make an incision in his tongue, and then pull the needle out, and now he's fine. So we got a lovely photo. Marcus went out and took a lovely photo of Sarah and Red, and she sent me the picture of the x-ray, and you can clearly see the needle in the tongue. We still have no idea where he picked it up from, she said. I don't do any sewing at home, so it's a complete mystery. After the needle was removed, Red went on to make a full recovery. He's back to normal and his cheeky self now. Everyone here thoroughly enjoyed the situation. That's at the vets. They were saying, here comes Red with his needle and thread. So,
what colour is the thread?
I don't know. I think it's black, actually, because she has got a picture of that. I think it's a black thread. And she said, we all had a good laugh. about it afterwards. So all's well that ends well, and I particularly like my headline this week on the story.
What was it?
Red on the mend after swallowing needle and thread.
Nice.
So there you go. Make do and mend, but don't make do.
And you
don't,
stitch that up stitch very nicely.
That stitches up the show very nicely.
Very nicely.
That's all we've got time for news this week. Claire is next, telling you what you could be doing the next few days in Bromsgrove Droitwich Rubri. Keep it here.
You're listening to the Bromsgrove Standard Podcast because you have impeccable taste.
Thanks, Tristan. Yes, lots of fun things going on this weekend in Bromsgrove, Droitwich, Rubri and all the areas in between. Here are some of my top picks. Starting off on Saturday, the 3rd of August. Have you ever tried one of these? It's a vision board workshop. Apparently you put all your dreams, like that convertible Bentley you want and the Rolex and Bradley Cooper, etc., etc. You put it all onto a board and it's supposed to come true. I'm game if you are. Well, it's all happening at Wellbeing at the Wishing Well in Bromsgrove on Saturday, B618QY is the postcode via sat-nav. At 10 a.m, get yourself there. But just remember, Bradley Cooper or Channing Tatum are mine, please. No putting them on your vision boards, okay? All right, we've got a deal. Also on Saturday, we spoke about it earlier in the pod, it's the Bromsgrove Dining Club happening at the Recreation Road, Bromsgrove, B618DA is the postcode. And this is the first ever Bromsgrove Dining Club. Lots of people have been wanting it and asking for it, and it's finally happening. You can expect about 15 popular traders there, including Only Jerkin, which is a great name, the original Patty Men, the Bourneville Waffle Company. There's going to be fully stocked bars, DJs, and it's all kicking off at about 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. It's going to be amazing. Definitely check it out. It's also the 42nd annual show of the North Worcestershire Fuchsia Society on Saturday. And this is also going on all day on Sunday as well, actually. And it's all happening at De Beers on the Worcester Road in Kidderminster. Hopefully we'll have some representatives from Bromsgrove and Droitwich going to that. And if you want more details, give the organiser a call on 01905 821 297. Then after you've appreciated your fuchsias, there's a family day happening at 57 Monkeys on the Worcester Road in Bromsgrove. Now, I always thought this was just a club for adults, but they're filling the dance floor, apparently, with a bouncy castle. So bring your kids, bring your family. There's going to be free goodie giveaways and it's free entry, all kicking off there at 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. Sounds loads of fun. Then on Saturday evening, three great local bands I know of, Moose Jaw, they're going to be on at the Hophole Inn in Bromsgrove on Saturday evening. The Black Hawks, they're a great band. They're going to be performing at the Old Black Cross on the Worcester Road in Bromsgrove. And Catch 23 will be bringing the house down at the Westcroft in Droitwich on Saturday too. Then on Sunday, the 4th of August, there's a bandstand music in the park stay again, once again, this time with the Bedworth Brass Band. So take a deck chair or a blanket and a picnic, or just stroll around the park and listen to the live music from 2:30 until 4:30 p.m. This is always one of my favourite things to do when the sun is shining, so pray for sunshine, and it's free, so you can't beat that, can you? Also on Sunday, there is a Disney inspired family fun swim session we've been told about at Bromsgrove Leisure Centre. This is mixed gender swimming lessons lasting 1 hour, and it's suitable for participants of all ages. 3 p.m. start there. There's also an open garden for NGS at Hireth in Droitwich. WR98UY is the postcode for your sat-nav. And this garden has many plant species, herbaceous, hostas, ferns, acer trees, a 300-year-old olive tree, apparently, a pool, a waterfall, oak sculptures, metal animals. It sounds beautiful. Pop along there, 2 p.m. until 5 p.m. And it's all for charity, of course. And I love the idea of that 300-year-old oak olive tree. I know oak trees get to about 900 years old, but no, I had no idea olive trees lived 300 years old. I love the oak trees. Apparently, they spend the first 300 years of their life growing, the next 300 years resting, and then 300 years dying. I heard that about oak trees. It's quite beautiful, isn't it? Then on Sunday evening, Silk on Sundays is on once again at the Licky End Social Club. B61JT is the postcode there. This is a zone which unites a vast range of different musical genres, soul, funk, R&B, jazz, etc. They say it's all kicking off at 6 p.m, so try and get down there if you're in Lickey. And there's also a Fat Theo comedy extravaganza night happening at the Roozler's Bar in the Victoria Ground. B61 ODR is the postcode there. A fantastic night of comedy. And kickoff there is at 8 p.m. Then just a couple of things for next week. On Tuesday, the 6th of August, roll up, the circus is coming to town. Well, it's John Lawson's Summer Circus, and they're going to be at Webb's of Wychbold. A fab day for the whole family with lots of fun. Webbsdirect.co.uk has all the info on that. And also there's a Summer Fun Day happening at Sanders Park with another circus, but this time it's the Circus Chaos Workshops, 12 noon until 4 p.m. there. And then also over in Rubri on Tuesday is the Street Theatre in St Chad's Park, Rubri, B45 9JW, with theatre stalls, children's activities, glamour drumming workshops, and Wally the Clown is going to be there. It all sounds to be a bit of a circus theme all over next Tuesday. And on that happy note, I'll hand you back to Tristan in the studio. And remember, if you have an event, tell us so we can tell everyone. Have a happy week.
You're listening to the Bromsgrove Standard Podcast because you have impeccable taste.
Thanks for that, Claire. Loads going on in Bromsgrove, Droitwich and Rubri as ever. Thank you ever so much for listening to this week's Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standard Podcast. We hope you've had a good week so far, and we hope you have a good week for the rest of it. Remember, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. Just search for the Bromsgrove Standard and Droitwich Standard. And also you can get daily updates at bromsgrovestandard.co.uk, droitwichstandard.co.uk, and you can email us through there. If you've got any ideas for the podcast, any ideas for news stories, anything you want us to look into, anything you want us to cover that we haven't already, we do try and cover as much as we can, but obviously there will be a few things there. So you can help us leave no stone unturned to give Bromsgrove and Droitwich the best news coverage possible. In the meantime, all that's left to say is have a lovely week and we'll see you next time.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.